Do you want to reduce stress and get better sleep? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman with exciting news about an effective non-drug solution. The Zen by Nuvana. It's a safe, easy way to reduce stress and anxiety, improve your mood, sleep, and focus naturally. Zen is state-of-the-art. It connects to patented earbuds and uses your music to safely and conveniently deliver electronic signals that stimulate your vagus nerve, a major communication pathway between the brain and most major organs. The Nuvana app links Zen to your mobile device using Bluetooth so you can easily control and customize your experience. Choose from a variety of signal patterns to find what works best for you. Zen is safe, easy, and effective. And for a limited time, get 20% off the exclusive Intelligent Medicine Bundle. For more information and to order, go to NuvanaLife.com/Hoffman. That's Nuvana, N-E-U-V-A-N-A. NuvanaLife.com/Hoffman. Stress less. Focus more. Sleep better. Electronically. The Zen by Nuvana. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. It was a little bit easier to determine what day of the week it was because we had quite a few patients. It was kind of like a regular day in the office.
Yeah.
And, we did some, some phone consultations and some Zoom meetings, but actually some people ventured into
our office.
Into Manhattan.
Yay!
Amidst the plague wagons of the bodies, you know, being driven down Fifth Avenue, and the rioting looters, and you know the crime infested you know, streets of Manhattan. Mm. I don't know, Manhattan's getting a kind of a bad image here, but
it's going back to 1970s.
Well, it is and it isn't. You know, I mean, I'm hoping that this is sort of a temporary blip.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. But it's, you know, in some ways it's not looking good. Anyway, so here we are, and it's an opportunity to share vital information with you. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. Send your questions to us, and we'll attempt to field them. You know, Layla, I was reading and this is something that, another event that I eagerly await is when I go to the mailbox and my American Journal of Clinical Nutrition is in my mailbox.
Oh, yay.
You know,
drop everything, read that.
Yeah, just, and I sit there and, you know, and I, with a magic marker, you know, like a
highlighter.
And I highlight the articles which are of interest. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of dry, you know, it's an article on leucine metabolism in, you know,
cancer.
Undernourished, sub-Saharan African villages, you know,
yeah.
It's like, okay, you know, it's like, okay, study starvation, and that's, is that really relevant to clinical practice here in the United States? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But this week, there was an article which immediately drew my attention. It was about nicotinamide riboside.
Oh, wow.
The true Niagen that we talk
about.
Yeah. And it was a very interesting article. A little bit technical, but there was a interesting take-home message, and it was actually significant enough that, you know, some of the articles, about, they usually pick about five of the articles, maybe 20, 25 articles in each edition, and they wrote an editorial about this article, and the article was written by a guy that I've interviewed on Intelligent Medicine, who's Dr. Charles Brenner, who actually is with ChromaDex, the company that makes True Niagen.
Oh, okay.
And but that's pretty prestigious, is to be offered an opportunity to write an editorial in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. I mean, this guy's a real deal. He's an academic. He's respected. He has credentials. And he wrote about, you know, usually these op-eds reflect on the articles that are written and talk about, you know, what directions they might suggest for future research. But here's the title. Nicotinamide riboside supplementation alters body composition
and skeletal muscle acetyl-carnitine concentrations in healthy obese humans. Mm. So what they found in this article is, I mean, look, you do this all the time. You do body comps on people,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
And the goal is not so much to lose weight, it's to alter the fat-to-lean ratio.
Exactly.
So I could come in at, say, hypothetically, 200 pounds. I actually just weighed myself on your scale. I weigh 165. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, I got too much lard, basically. You know, I got a, you know, and your pant size too big and I need to lose weight. But I come in and I'm disappointed because I've only, you know, I've worked with you for a couple of months and I come in and I've only lost 8 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, that's not so good. But then you do the body comp and you show that I've lost so much fat percentage. I've lost 10 pounds of fat.
Yes.
And gained 2 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, which is terrific.
Which is really terrific because mm-hmm. it really alters you metabolically. Mm-hmm. So in this study, it wasn't much. It was about a 1.5% improvement in body composition.
That's still significant.
And they deem it significant
yeah.
enough to get published.
Yeah.
You might say, well, that you know doesn't cut it. But the
it kind of does.
Yeah, the editors of the journal mm-hmm. are kind of, you know, they would reject an article. And say, so there's no big whoop here. What was also interesting is that the amount that these individuals took is exactly what I take every day. I take 500, 2 pills a day. It can be a little expensive.
Yeah.
It's an expensive product. Mm-hmm. But I take it because I think it's one of those things, and I don't take it for weight loss. I take it for energy, and
yeah.
I take it also for brain protection, mm-hmm. Because it works on the sirtuin pathways, and it has sort
yeah.
of, I think it has an anti-aging effect.
Yeah.
I think it's actually a very exciting supplement. So I was really pleased to see that, and here's the other thing. Hmm. Increasing muscle acetyl-carnitine concentrations, well, it sounds a little technical, but mm-hmm. we actually give acetyl-L-carnitine to people mm-hmm. to improve energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you improve acetyl L-carnitine in muscle, it suggests potentially more muscle strength and endurance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of cool. And with the acetyl carnitine, it was actually a fairly significant increase. It was about a, you know, maybe a 25 to 50% increase in the acetyl carnitine.
Well, that has everything to do with energy. The carnitine is necessary for muscle function. It's necessary for mitochondria. It ushers fatty acids into the mitochondria for good old energy-producing fat burning.
Right.
That's great.
And here's another little take-home from this article.
Hmm.
They measured what's called sleeping metabolic rate.
Hmm.
And we tend to think of sleep as the very thing that is, you know, a rest state where you don't use any energy. It's actually a high-energy state.
Yeah.
And it's a state in which you burn calories.
Mm-hmm.
And you burn a lot of calories.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I work hard when I sleep, man. I'm dreaming of like, I was dreaming last night about the quest for a, cure for COVID-19. And it was like I was at going to all these meetings and running around. And it was like, they didn't disclose what the cure was, but I was like running around from place to place. I was traveling to go to different meetings. I was working really hard. And then I woke up and it was like, oh. We still have COVID-19. But sleep is a high energy state. So
yeah.
what they found is there was a significant increase in sleeping metabolic rate.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like burn fat while you sleep.
That's nice.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it's a promising direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always pleased to see, you know, products that we talk about, in the top journals. I mean, it doesn't get any better than the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition.
True.
So.
True.
My hat's off to the folks at True Niagen.
Yeah.
That, you know, congratulations to them for, I think, an encouraging study. Again, do we have some magic weight loss pill in nicotinamide riboside? Probably not. But is it something that is a great adjunct to
sure.
diet and exercise?
Because anything that will help you to retain that lean body mass along with exercise and a proper diet, all the better.
Yeah.
Your resting energy expenditure, sleeping energy expenditure.
So I'm going to encourage as many
good.
People as possible, you know, to take it.
To
I
take
think it.
It
has a place. We had a patient today, very fatigued.
Yeah.
And I prescribed that along with other things. I gave her something that has acetyl L-carnitine in it. And I gave her D-ribose and magnesium and coenzyme Q10. All these are energizing things, hoping that maybe part of her problem is her mitochondria aren't working well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see. We'll see how
she does.
We're
going to find out.
Unless, you know,
battery of tests
there could be other roadblocks. There could be an infection. We gave her NT factor.
Yes.
Let's not forget about NT factor.
NT factor.
I poked my head in the drawer. I said, make sure you give her NT factor.
Yeah.
So, we gave her Protosorb magnesium, which is another product by one of our sponsors, because magnesium is essential for brain function.
Yes.
And mood and anxiety. She had some elements of mood problems.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, fingers crossed, hopefully come back in a month and we see
We'll see what the results
improvement.
Reveal. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, these things get me excited.
Yeah.
I'm dreaming about these things. Okay.
That's great.
So let's get to questions.
Oh, my goodness. We have a question from Darna. Dear Layla and Dr. Hoffman, love your podcast and radio show, listening for decades.
Decades.
Decades. That's great.
Well, that's possible because the show started in
1988. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
really something.
It is the longest running, continuous broadcast, physician-hosted broadcast on radio.
Isn't that something? And there should be a Lifetime Achievement Award for that or something.
A gold watch, maybe?
Yeah.
it's time you retired here.
Right.
Okay. Me get that at 50 years.
Yes. 50 years. That would be good. Okay. Darna says, I suffer from GERD, and I had a recent endoscopy. Most of the times, I keep my problems at bay. I take DGL, I take Endofen, I take glutamine. All of
all
these
the things
are good.
You recommend, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But now I have shortness of breath, which is not attributable to COVID, heart disease, or mild asthma. All of these have been ruled out. So she's talking about Dr. Kaufman's diet, you know, dropping acid.
Dropping acid. She wrote a book of dropping acid. I've interviewed her on the program. Yeah. We did a podcast.
Well, Dr. Kaufman says these symptoms of...
Jamie Kaufman.
These symptoms of shortness of breath...
Who's a female.
Can definitely be attributed to my reflux.
Right. Possibly.
She recommends Tagamet followed by Gaviscon after each meal and before bed.
You could try it.
Do you know this product? My symptoms now require more than just the above supplements, like the DGL and Endofen. That normally does it for us. DGL, Endofen, L-glutamine, but...
Did she talk about diet at all there?
She doesn't talk about diet at all.
Okay, well, there's certainly a dropping acid diet.
Yeah. Maybe she needs to read Dr. Kaufman's book, which is pretty good. The list of food she's got there.
Well,
or the GERD diet is helpful.
But also low-carb diets sometimes really make a difference.
True.
And also she may have SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, with a lot of gas production, which could cause reflux and problems.
Yeah.
So she also could try some aloe gel or aloe juice. Actually, I discovered that aloe juice is fine.
It
aloe
is fine.
Gel is just has something to make it more viscous.
Lily of the desert.
Yeah. And it's an additive, and you don't actually need that. And sometimes there's carrageenan in there, which is an irritant. I don't that crazy about that as a thickening agent for the aloe.
Right.
Although I think they say that the carrageenan they use is the not bad kind. There is some nuance about carrageenan is that...
There's a food-grade carrageenan, which is mostly what's used in those, but it still can be problematic. Now, a lot of products have stopped using carrageenan and switched to something called... Gelin gum, G-E-L-L-A-N.
I'm gelin,
right, exactly. Like some almond milk varieties have changed from carrageenan to that. But gelin gum, it's a little less problematic, but still, you know.
It could have some adverse effects on the gut.
It could.
Yeah,
for
gums.
Those who are susceptible. So that's something.
Okay.
Something to think about.
But
Darna, you need to go on Dr. Kaufman's diet or a GERD diet, or I would ask you also, when was the last time you took an antibiotic? Maybe you do have some SIBO from that, or you just have SIBO anyway because of how you've been trying to treat your GERD. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, this almost reminds me of that ad with Larry the Cable Guy. He could eat his chili dog because he takes his Pepsi first.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't. I thought that was really a disservice.
Like that.
You know?
Yeah, or something
but
like that.
But that's the way a lot of those ads are. It's sort
that's
of like,
true.
Take this pill and you can eat your cake and have
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, like these ulcerative colitis ads where they say, you know, the person's disappointed because they can't go to the carnival and have like a, you know, a chili dog with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You should think about what you're throwing into that pipe.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. It's, exactly. You know, garbage in, garbage out, folks. All right.
I mean, so. I have a, when I present about gastrointestinal mm-hmm. problems, I have a slide that has this plumber leaning over a toilet with, you can sort of see his butt with his butt crack.
Uh-huh.
And the slide, you know, is teased me off to say, that's Joe the plumber. And if your toilet gets clogged, the first thing that Joe the plumber is going to say, or Tony the plumber is going to say, whatever, is, hey lady, would you throw down that toilet? You know,
yeah.
And it's, the gastroenterologist never asked that. You know,
makes me want to pull my hair out every time I hear that. Oh, your diet doesn't matter. You need to take this drug the rest of your life.
I'm going to point out, this is another funny thing.
That drives me nuts.
Funny thing happened this week. I mean, I post these things because they're kind of funny. This is the duh story of the week. I call it the duh story of the decade.
Uh-oh.
This is going
to be a good one.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Check your blood pressure because it's going to go up. Experts urge evaluation of diet at routine checkups. And the quote is, the time has come for routine healthcare visits to include some form of dietary assessment and counseling, according to a new scientific statement from the American Heart Association.
Wow!
Published in Circulation, an American Heart Association journal. Unhealthy dietary patterns are a leading cause of heart disease and strokes. It's taken them this long to issue
this
the call to action.
Honestly, did veterinarians need to undergo some kind of revelation to say, well, what does your dog eat if
what
you bring
dog?
In your sick dog?
Exactly.
You know, we need to be asked that question.
They get better care than humans. But I also point out that there was a study done in Minnesota, and it was a low cholesterol diet intervention. A low-fat diet, low-cholesterol diet intervention to see if it could lower LDL cholesterol. And indeed, it lowered LDL cholesterol because if you go on a no-cholesterol diet, you're going to lower your LDL cholesterol. But the problem was it did not lower cardiovascular incidence.
Mm.
It did not lower cardiovascular mortality. And above all, it did not lower mortality.
Huh.
So they fixed the cholesterol.
Yeah.
But they died with their numbers on. They died with their numbers on.
Well, there's a whole other side to that, because since the liver makes 80% of the cholesterol we need, cholesterol doesn't need to be fixed.
Right.
It's necessary.
Well, but they were so happy in that study that, we actually demonstrated that it's possible to lower cholesterol with diet.
Yeah.
To what end?
Mm.
To what end? It didn't really pan out. And Asim Malhotra wrote a big article this week. I'm going to probably talk about it in my newsletter, where they reviewed 35 studies, which were targeting LDL with the drugs to lower cholesterol. Now, there are three basic types. There's Zetia. There's the statin drugs. All the different statin drugs are probably, you know, a dozen.
Yeah.
And then there are the newer PCSK9 drugs, which are the injectable drugs.
The pesky drugs.
They're very expensive.
Yeah.
They can lower cholesterol like 100 points. They're dramatic, but you have to be injected, and they cost a fortune. So now a lot of doctors are saying use these drugs when the statins don't lower your cholesterol enough. They want to lower your cholesterol like, you know, LDL's 70 points.
Oof.
That's what those drugs do.
Yeah.
And in reviewing those studies, many of them did not show cardiovascular benefit, but some showed cardiovascular benefit of lowering cholesterol, but almost none of them showed a mortality benefit. Almost none of them showed that they could make you live longer.
Well, there you go.
So this is the big look. All the news is dominated by COVID-19, but in the meantime, we're seeing that was published in British Medical Journal, BMJ.
Yes.
And it was a very, very, scholarly review of these articles. It was a meta-analysis, 35 studies, and what they found is that, you know, they didn't really pass muster. You know, so it really calls into question the cholesterol-lowering strategy with these drugs.
Yet they're still being prescribed, yet they're still being taken.
Now, with some qualifications, because I will say that there are some people who can benefit from these drugs, who have advanced cardiovascular risk, really
who've had a heart attack.
Right. What they also found is that they have these criteria by which they put people on cholesterol-lowering drugs. And if you meet these criteria, I mean, if you're, first of all, it's the stack of the deck, because it's, say, if you're an old male, I mean, like, I'm a prime candidate. I'm a 67-year-old male. Like, I get a lot of points for that. And then your cholesterol is high, my cholesterol is somewhat high, but my HDL is very good. But they don't ask a lot of questions like, you know, what's your blood sugar and do you exercise a lot? You know, it's a algorithm.
Yeah.
And based on that, they found that a lot of people should be on statin drugs. I mean, I think according to that, I should be, I actually plugged my data into one of those things and said, you should be on a statin drug. Didn't ask any other questions. One question they didn't ask is, what's your plaque score from the EBT heart scan? But what they found is that 44% of the people that they told should be on statin drugs, they have no plaque. So that's like a total waste of time.
Why do you need a cast if your leg isn't broken?
So, I mean, this is a little digression, but, you know, it's in the news this week. And, but, it, you know, it's really, isn't it encouraging? The American Heart Association now believes that people should get a diet assessment?
Absolutely. There should be a dietitian or nutrition professional in every doctor's office.
It should be part of it. Every single doctor's office.
Every single doctor's office. You have to meet with the nutritionist because, like the proverb goes, the patient who does not pay attention to diet is wasting the physician's time.
Is that from Fortune Cookie?
Yeah, or something. It's a Chinese proverb.
Confucius or Hippocrates or...
Confucius, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
So, Darna, you need to get on a GERD diet. It's not just about the supplements. Okay. We have an email from Sue. Sue says, I have lupus and Sjogren's.
So it's two autoimmune conditions.
Is there any reason I shouldn't take collagen supplements?
Can't think of a reason in the world that you didn't
Then I'd have to tell you don't eat chicken soup.
Well,
you can't take collagen.
Let's look at a hypothetical.
Yeah, okay.
Let's presume that someone is experiencing autoimmune problems that attack their collagen, which does occur in lupus. And in Sjogren's, there is an attack on collagen. So maybe there's not so wackadoodle to say, well, if you take collagen, will that induce an autoimmune reaction? And the answer is, in fact, there's actually a strategy by which a form of collagen, which is called undenatured collagen type 2, or UC2, is used to treat a disease in which collagen is the target, which is rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis, where collagen might be, there might be an autoimmune component to osteoarthritis.
Interesting.
So, anyway, I think that's interesting. I would say that it's perfectly fine. But I'm not going to say that's a ridiculous question. There is actually some rationale that maybe this person is thinking about.
It is a thoughtful
their own
question.
Collagen is under attack and they're taking collagen, but collagen also could provide a building block for repair. You know, so it's
besides
it might also have an effect on the gut, you know, where this notion of leaky gut syndrome, you know, what the antigens may traverse the gut wall and travel in the bloodstream and start setting up some autoimmunity. So the collagen would be actually helpful for that. Collagen's healing to the gut. So, I mean, that's not a off-the-wall question, actually.
Absolutely,
All right, that's a good point at which to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. Give us a little preview of what we're going to be talking about in part two.
I'm having difficulty losing weight, and I had half my thyroid removed 40 years ago.
All right. That is a common predicament when the thyroid is removed. You know, it's hard to replace the thyroid properly.
Sure. Yeah.
With medication. Let's talk about it in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Leila Mudin. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. We're happy that even amidst the summer of doldrums, we're getting questions from y'all. So keep them coming, and we'll field them to the best of our ability in future editions of Q&A with Leila. We'll be right back.